Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for appearing on today's episode of the Enabled in Academia podcast. We're so excited
Hey.
to have you.
Thanks, Hina, for having me on this episode.
No problem. Okay, so my first question that we normally ask all the guests is, do you mind telling us some background information about yourself or any of your greatest accomplishments or academic accomplishments so the audience can get to know you a bit better?
Sure, I'm an international student from India, currently pursuing my second postgraduate degree. Although my first one was in the field of mass communication, it from India, the current one is called cultural and a master's in cultural and creative industries.
That is so exciting as well. And the fact that you is your second postgraduate studies. So you must have some experience with academia already, which is really lovely to hear. Yeah. And so do you mind telling us, my second question now is, so you've told me as well that you've had prior experiences with blogging in India, is that right? Do you mind telling us a bit about that?
I mean, although my second blog was my second blog came out of an idea on my first blog. So my first blog was as a project during my first master's degree. So I kind of was frustrated by the repetitive structure of my undergrad and my first master's. So I thought of a new approach. I thought I'll highlight all the little hobbies that people have, like doodling, how they play various instruments, how they are a power lifter, and how that can be used to generate alternative career. So from that idea, my second blog came forth, but that was slightly different. However, I maintained a few elements from my first blog. Like the portal on which my second blog was hosted is Blogger, which was the same as the one during my first master's degree.
Yeah. That is really interesting as well. So I think that we can kind of relate to each other because we've had experiences in sort of the creative back industry as well, like the fact that you are from blogging and I'm also doing podcasting. So it's really interesting, right?
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is.
So I guess my third question now is, how is it for you to be an international and disabled student, because especially at somewhere like King's, that it's prestigious and it's fast going, it's in the central London, and like it's already difficult enough being an international student. You're moving to a new area and there's so much administrative work and challenges, but there's lots of initial short-term challenges like getting familiarized with your settings and the new academic structures of the country, and also with disability issues as well, like sometimes like accessing extra extensions for deadlines or extra exam arrangements and support getting to and from classes. So how was that for you?
Well, I will say it has been a mixed bag. Of course, I faced challenges, but through it all, I had so much support. For example, there's the disability team at King's that helps me, and through them, I got an extension for my deadline. And other than that, for the overall travel, Kingston accept a carer visa when we apply for it. So my parents had to come on a visitor visa, so that helped me quite a lot and is currently also helping me.
Yeah, that is really, at least that's really lovely, that you're not just focused on the challenges, but you're focused on the positive experiences as well. That's really refreshing to hear. Yeah, and also like, yeah, I mean, as we say, like, but a positive development is that we're actually both a part of the Disabled Student Society, right? And that's how we met and how we got to arrange this episode in a way. I guess that's a really lovely like support initiative and sort of an extracurricular activity we do online. And that's how fellow disabled students get to meet each other, and we get to sort of discuss these issues there as well, and just always chat. Yeah, it's really lovely. Okay, so what sort of advice would you have for international disabled students? Like, what would you want them to consider before embarking upon this whole journey?
Before embarking on the journey, consider the practical aspects of it. As I previously mentioned, there are going to be challenges, but through these challenges, there are also going to be lots of support. For example, like you gave the example of how we met through the KCL Disabled Societies. That's one fantastic place of support, and I'm sure if people look for it, they can find other places of support too. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like, it is really admirable that, you know, like, you didn't accept that for your disability to challenge you or to be a hindrance to you and to prevent you from completing your aspiration of, you know, traveling abroad and studying a degree abroad. You know, it's really empowering to hear that for the audience as well, that may be doubting themselves potentially, who may need some reassurance. Yeah. Okay. So, how is it like for you in terms of like traveling around? So practically, like, do you find it a bit easier now? Traveling to and from
It's
classes. Sorry.
also sorry, I was kind of confused. I find it a lot of easier. First of all, the traveling back in India, I mean, when I had to get from one place to the other, I had to rely on either my friends to come and pick me up or my parents to drop me. But but in London, I can travel by the TFL, which is a huge relief for me.
Yeah.
So I do not have to really depend on my parents for my travel.
Yeah.
So that's a relief.
Yeah, and it's so, yeah, sorry, go on.
And I also have a kind of a walking stick to assist me with my mobility issues. So that also helped me get from one classroom to the other.
Yeah, that is so good to hear. Like, I can't lie, like, in London, the buses and the bus networks, the train networks are really close together, so it's really easy to, you know, travel quite independently, I would say.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, sometimes the streets can be a bit busy, but I mean, yeah, not too bad.
In terms of the streets, even the signals help. I mean, when we have to cross the street, we just need to press a button and wait for the vehicles to stop, and they stop, and then the pedestrians can easily cross to the other side of the road. So that's another advantage, which is not there in India, and I don't think it will ever happen now.
Yeah, I think the traffic light system is very beneficial just because, for like maybe visually impaired people as well, because at least if they can see lights from a distance, they could like stop and go maybe. Yeah, okay, so that's great. Something else that I wanted to touch upon as well is, so like maybe when students are a bit younger, like they do, especially if they're like in high school or like just before they're being administered to their first undergrad degrees, and especially if they have a disabled background, they sometimes they can be confident, but they can maybe also have those feelings of like doubt. And I guess our able-bodied counterparts also have those feelings of doubt as well, but I do think it can be a bit amplified in the disabled community. So it's really good that myself and yourself have overcome those to an extent. Right?
Yeah, in such situations, it's vital to have sources of support, especially among like people who can relate to each other, can understand situations, because in such things, it's like you can't use a one-size-fits-all approach. So we need people who can relate to each other and what they are going through.
Yeah, like role models. And that's why I sort of started this. I sort of am continuing with this podcasting endeavor because I think that if I publicize that, there are disabled role model students out there who are persisting and who are studying, it can sort of help like audiences to see that actually, well, if they're doing it, maybe they can feel like they can do it too. They have a chance.
I think it's a brilliant initiative what you are doing, and it also can create awareness about the resilience of the disabled and their achievements in society.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you know what I said, like during Disability History Month, like a few months ago, I was actually saying that, sometimes like people are a bit adamant to give disabled people a little compliment, like, oh, well, you have extra challenges compared to your able-bodied counterparts, and you're still studying, you're still commuting like we are, you're still in the same physical spaces as we are, you're still meeting the deadlines we do. It's like, why the resistance to give a little compliment? I mean, it is free, like a little verbal reassurance. It won't really hurt anybody, and it's really lovely to see people's moods be boosted,
Yeah, their moods can be boosted, like you said, and all these little words of compliments go a long way to boost the confidence of any person.
Yeah. And at King's, they have the King's Inclusion Plan. Like, I have one. I'm not sure if you have one or not. Kit?
Yes, I do, and that's a major relief while applying for the extensions, because if it were not there, I would have to justify why I'm applying for the extension under which circumstance. Since the King's Inclusion Plan is there, all of that is not necessary.
Yeah, that's the same with me as well. Like with my conditions, I use the King's Inclusion Plan. It is quite convenient, I have to say.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
is.
Okay. So, now we're gonna get towards sort of the end of this podcast episode. So do you have any sort of further recommendations for us as to maybe content we could watch or any teams that or reading that that could support disabled students or international disabled students further?
First of all, like you itself were giving the example of how we met, so I think that's a brilliant place to start, and that could point us towards other places of support. Another place that I would recommend is while having appointments with the while having appointment with GP at the booking an appointment, that's also one another service that we get called social prescribing. So I think that's another source of help, because it basically builds our social skills. So that's also helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we say, like, there's so many resources out there, and it's really good that we've publicized some of them as well.
Sorry.
Sorry, as we said that there's so many resources out there to help disabled students, and it's good that we've publicized some of them today.
But there, I'm sure there are much
More.
more, so as I mentioned, this is a starting point, like the society and the prescribing service that we can book after our GP appointment.
And it's really exciting, I think, to be aware of these disability accessible measures. And I think what we're doing is we're sort of trying to put them into like one location. So like I'm trying to group all my podcast episodes together to make it easy to make it easier to find, so people can sort of access disability information in sort of one setting. Okay. Thank you so much for appearing on today's episode of the Enabled Academia podcast. It was so exciting and lovely to have you.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Take care.
Bye.